This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
One, two, one, two.
And I say,
this is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We here. What's good, man?
Yeah, man.
How you doing?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You already know.
Solid.
You already know.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You good?
How about you?
I'm all right, man. I'm chilling.
It's cracking.
Yeah, what's cracking, man? Same old, same old. Not the same old, but for the most part, the same old, man. You know. What's going on?
We the old black man.
Yeah, I definitely feel like one after I didn't face app myself.
We need to face app this whole episode.
Yeah, that would be funny. The Morgan Freeman episode.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My shit came out looking like my pops.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's familiar.
Shit. I'm like, damn, I just like that motherfucker.
That's real. There you go. That's your father. That's a good one. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's cool. They throw a lot of wrinkles on your situation.
They, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's really made for the melanated skin.
A lot of stress in that app.
It's a lot of, like, they ball your shit up and unfold it.
Right, right. That's basically what they do. Like aluminum foil face.
Ah, that ain't how we age.
Yeah, come on now. What's that about? What's that line from?
But it was, you know, it was just some trip. I did one of me and my wife sent it to her.
Well, that's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? This is us.
This is us in the future. This is how we going to do it.
She was like, shit, that must be us when we 90. I ain't.
That shit there.
She pulled up a picture of her mama. She's like, my mama's 74. She ain't got no wrinkles.
Well, that's good to know. That's
like, but you know, you might be good. Got them good genes.
There you go.
You ain't gonna have no wrinkles.
There you go. Oh man, I'm gonna be a sweaty one. I was sweaty on this last episode, but you know, I'm dripping and dipping. It's a heat wave, baby. It is a heat wave coming from now until next. Yeah, from now until next Monday. I think it's 90 every day, 90 something.
I'm prepared, man.
They've
been hot all summer, so once they got me that first hot day.
You was ready.
I got my shit together.
He was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I know what to do about this.
Mm.
I'm from Miami.
There you go.
I be walking through the hood. You know what I'm saying? You grew up in Miami, you used to the heat. So
right.
As a kid, you always walked the shade side of the street.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I be walking through the hood, crisscrossing like a
I do that. I like, play a good shade
like,
situation.
Oh, shit, this side of the block ain't got no trees.
Some right.
Stay over here. Shit.
It's funny. It's conversation heat. You know, like that's the conversation. I seen this cat work at the train station. He was like, it's hot to the motherfucker today, huh? I said, yeah. He said, it's a good thing we tropical people.
Nah.
I said, all right, family.
No doubt. And I caught one of them damn hot trains on the way here.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
No AC trains.
That's going to happen. When you get in first, it is nobody in that bitch?
It was people in there. Okay. I guess I ain't had no other choice.
Mm.
I was running for the train, so I just picked the one that I could squeeze in.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit was 1,000 degrees. But, you know, once you in there, you just got to, you know what I'm saying, mind control yourself, man.
Yeah,
Talk to your hypothalamus.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a hell of a conversation.
Yeah, motherfucker. I learned
how often do you speak to your hypothalamus?
Shit, as soon as it get 80 degrees. And I learned that shit in school in Miami. I was in class one day. I was about 10th grade.
Uh-huh.
And the AC was broke in the class. And earlier that day in biology, we was learning about the hypothalamus and how it controls body temperature.
Right.
So I was like, shit. I never heard of no shit like
right.
that. I didn't know you had something that can control your body temperature.
Your whole
you know what
shit.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, shit, I wonder if I talk to my hypothalamus,
mm-hmm.
will I be able to, you know what I'm saying, cool down?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the shit worked.
You speak it to her.
I was just like, you know what I'm saying? Say, I knew where I was at, so now I could kind of target where I'm talking.
Where is it, right here in the
somewhere,
back?
Somewhere, as far as I remember. Don't get me wrong, I'm
a
biology.
You do a little, say, hey.
But it got to a point like, we walking home from school, and my homeboys be sweating and shit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, man, why you not sweating?
Right.
Like, man, you got to talk to your hypothalamus. I got him. He's like, nah, you think it's because you're a red nigga. Red niggas don't sweat.
Hilarious.
I was like, man, you got to just talk to your hypothalamus, man.
That's crazy.
Because it'd be like, you know, I was at homecoming, and I had on a white button-down long sleeve shirt. That's my, that was, you know, for a couple summers, that was my summer uniform.
The go-to.
Yeah, that was my go-to clean up, you know what I'm saying? I like to shoot in that, you know what I'm saying? It was a good look, especially summer outdoor joints, because that white reflects everything off of you. But it's like being in the desert. You don't never see nobody in the desert with, you know what I'm saying, a wife beater on, walking around. They have on long-ass shit.
Right.
Be, you know what
Blousey
saying?
Type
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. But it'd be white, it'd be bouncing shit off, and you have your little undershirt, catch all the sweat, keep it close to your body, cool you off. So it tripped me out. It's like, you know what I'm saying, you get these grown people, like, you're not hot.
Right.
So, you know, mostly like women. Like, you're not hot.
Right.
Like, nah, I'm good.
I'm chilling.
That long sleeve shirt making me hot.
I hate when people say shit
like
that.
I'm like, well, you need to talk to your hypothalamus.
You need to talk to your hypothalamus. Me and my hypothalamus ain't spoken years.
Good. You see me sweating?
Yeah, I see.
I ain't sweating. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a, to me, it's a real thing. I'm not sure if it's a real thing or not. Maybe I psyched myself out. But.
You doing it. You worked it. It works out. I got to reach out.
Yeah, reach out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
It might look out for you.
I was never, I wasn't always a sweaty motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, that shit started, I remember clearly, that shit started when I started selling ads. that fucking stress got to me. Sitting at that table talking about your pendants and what you got in. And when that shit,
you're in the hot seat in the sales
meeting. Hell yeah, that's when it really started to hit me. And I was like, yo, what is going on?
Yeah, the sales meeting was like Monday morning. You know what I'm saying? You got to come in and tell everybody in the whole marketing sales department.
Yeah.
But you really talking to the publisher what ads you have sold.
Right.
Which ones do you think will come in? You know what I'm saying?
Gotta give a story on that.
Yeah. How much you basically, how much you think you're gonna bring in
right,
this month?
Right.
And that shit is stress, dog.
And it's scrutiny. So what's going on with this? Right. You know.
And there ain't no room for faking. Like, if you ain't worked, like, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't really do meetings and shit,
yeah,
it's gonna show.
Yeah, that's true.
So basically, and if your shit ain't right, you gotta have a reason how you gonna have, you gotta have a solution to how you gonna fix that shit.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up starting going to the bookstore every Sunday.
Why was that?
To get ready for the sales meeting.
Okay.
On Monday.
But what would you do at the bookstore?
That's when you know how you go, initially you go to look to see what other advertisers advertise.
Oh, okay, you to see what's running.
What you missing, what you ain't getting, you know what I'm saying? What's out there that you might possibly be able to get, you know what I mean? All that type shit.
Yeah.
So you go in there to start looking like, damn, that motherfucker got this. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, usually you know the other sales rep from other magazine and shit that sell the same shit you selling. You're like, damn, that motherfucker got me. You know what I'm saying?
Or they lied to me. Right. They said they wasn't running shit.
Here that go. These motherfuckers running.
It took a while for me to be able to look at magazines the same for a while. Because I would look at just the ads to see what was covered there. Like, oh, okay, that's what's going on. It took me a little while to look it
see
up.
See who lied and
motherfucker,
he got a two-page spread and his shit. Then you be like, hey, you ran a two. Nah, they gave that to us for free.
Right.
For real? Oh, okay.
All right.
You ain't getting shit for free over here.
Nah, that's not going
to
happen.
I got to go to sales meeting.
Especially since you might be a liar. can't give you love if you a liar.
I don't trust you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I got over that or just print collapsed. I'm not sure what happened first, but I know for a while when I looked at magazines, I would always look at the ads. And then one day it stopped.
But the sweat continued.
The sweat is here. The sweat is here. It's gonna dissipate by probably 15, 20 minutes in.
No, I'm just saying as far as a thing.
Yeah. Because then I think it just, I got to talk to my hypothalamus. Because maybe that's just my anxiety. You know what I mean? Because then, like, I started doing comedy. And then that's a lot of nerves.
That's worse than a salesman.
Oh, man. But then I had to go hit or miss. The worst is when you're having a slow set and you're sweaty. Because if you're killing and you're sweaty, that's just part of your essence.
You just getting it.
You a bad motherfucker, but if you got a flop sweat and ain't nobody laughing, that shit is, ah.
That's when you start doing this shit right
here.
Tucking on your shirt.
Ooh, doing all of that shit. Be trying to dab on the low. Anyway, so that's what it is.
Word.
Talk to this hypothalamus. I got to speak to my hypothalamus.
Yeah, man.
You got me really about to have a conversation.
I mean, for real, like, as a child, you know, as a kid, you know what I'm saying?
No, I realized
you could kind of fuck with, you could kind of pay attention to your body and understand what's happening. If you, you know what I'm saying? If you know what's really going, like, shit, you know, these little things, if I feel myself getting sick, I need my antibodies to kick in. Where y'all at?
So you speaking to the antibodies too? Like antibodies?
I did back in the day.
Okay.
When I first started, you know, when you in class and you really learning this shit.
Yeah.
After I learned the hypothalamus trick, I started talking to all that shit. Like, shit, I write antibodies. What's up?
What's cracking?
White blood cells kicking in. You know what I'm saying? Shit, everybody in this house sick. Now we can't get sick.
Yeah, that's smart.
That shit is just some shit.
It works. Yeah. It works. Oh, man.
Some shit that you think might work.
Shit, man.
Mind over matter.
You know some interesting shit on a, just not even a related note, just some interesting shit. Did you know, do you have anybody that you consider your right-hand man?
Not right now.
You know what the right-hand man is?
What's that?
No, but do you know what the right-hand man is?
What is it?
What would you think?
I think your partner in crime, somebody you could go to for, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I thought.
Right.
I had a conversation. I thought for years the right hand man was like, or your right hand, that was your partner in crime, your codee, whatever.
Right.
No, that means your chief assistant. I never knew
I mean, that fits too.
But that's different though.
Yeah, it is different, but sometimes you do have a right hand man that's kinda like your assistant.
Right. But
sometimes you have a right-hand man that's your equal.
That's your peer.
Right.
I'd always thought your right hand was like your peer. Like y'all are like, oh, holla at such and such. But
you know what, though? You never think of a right-hand man being above you.
Nah, because they right there. They're on the right hand.
It's either right with you or below you.
Right.
So it makes sense if that's where it originated.
Yeah, I just never knew that. And I just started thinking about people that I might have called my right-hand man just or some, oh, that's my right hand. You know, some shit like that. And I didn't mean that they was an assistant, but maybe they knew. They were
Where'd you learn this?
I had a conversation, and it was a conversation with somebody, and they were like, "Nah, that's what it means." I'm like, "Are you sure?" You know. And then I went and Googled it, and that shit said chief assistant. So yeah,
chief assistant is a motherfucker though.
Oh, chief assistant is that's a bad motherfucker. Your chief assistant? That's interesting.
I was, you know what I'm saying? It was always,
you know.
As like an entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying? I always held, you know what I'm saying, like a good regard to a motherfucker who could keep like an assistant for like forever. Like somebody that got an assistant that been rocking with them for a long time.
Right,
and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, you know what I mean? And then, you know, they might move up the ranks and they might have a different title. But they still that person's right hand.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's their infrastructure.
Right. Their infrastructure. Yeah. So I always admire that shit. You know what I mean? Because I know that is the one thing that I probably definitely need.
Mm-hmm.
But don't have enough.
Budget or?
No, it ain't even budget. It's just like, one, I'm a bad delegator. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I be trying to do all shit, you know what I'm saying? Because I know how to do certain shit. I be want to make sure it's done how I want it done.
Right.
And that fucks up having a right-hand person because you don't really have much for them to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have that sense of, you know, importance or that, you know what I'm saying, you're not throwing them shit to work on all the time.
Right.
And
they can't get better.
You be thinking about your work
and
you ain't giving them no work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So people who I usually have around is people who kind of create their work, but then those people don't last long.
Because they doing their own shit.
They like, shit, all right, I do that shit with you for a minute, but then as soon as they get their little shit popping, then it's done. So I'm in an era of life where I'm changing myself, you know what I'm saying, rewriting my story. And that's one of the things that I really have to write into it. And I didn't think about that until you just said that.
Yeah.
Because I've thought about it before, but I hadn't, it wasn't right now in my crucial plans until you just said that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It is tough to delegate, you know? Because especially if you are your own boss, so stakes is a little higher if shit don't get done the way they should be done. But that's a talent in itself,
right,
to be a good delegate and say, hi, because then that's, not only it's belief. It's, you know, you gotta be able to teach somebody, you know, what you need to be done, mm-hmm. but you also have to believe in them. You know what I mean? Encourage them. It's a good talent to have.
And you have to release. You have to let go of your what you know. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Sometimes you be knowing too much. You know what I'm saying? Mm. All that you be knowing all this shit, and you want them to know all that shit. Mm. Sometimes you gotta let that shit go, and let them figure it out, and make you know, it might turn into something new and something better. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But you stepping in the way all the time, trying to make it just your way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes, obviously, your way ain't getting you the help. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Your way is making more work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that's like, you know, you have to really get out your own way.
Yeah.
And that's me. And I've seen it. When I moved to New York,
mm-hmm.
the guy that inspired me the most out of all this shit is this cat, Jay Norris. I probably talked about him early in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay Norris was a little bit older than me, just a little bit. But he was young, doing it.
You know he was a little bit older than you, just a little bit, but he was young.
No, he was young. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, he was young,
mm-hmm.
he's 20s,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? 20-something years
yeah.
old,
mm-hmm.
had a Benz, you know yeah. what I'm saying? A big body Benz, not a little one.
Right.
He had a big Benz. You know what I'm saying? Then he had two apartments, one on the Upper East Side, one down Wall Street.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Where he had his office and shit.
Uh-huh.
And
Black Cat?
Yeah, Black. Okay. He went to Howard. You know right. what I'm saying?
Okay.
He used to promote this club called Envy. But he owned
in
this,
New York, the World Spring?
Yeah. Yeah. Envy on Sunday nights.
Uh-huh.
That was his party. That was
right.
like a big deal.
Right.
When I first got here.
Right.
And then he owned this little magazine called Tastemakers.
Okay.
He actually owned the copyright to the word Tastemakers
wow.
in the media space.
That's big.
He sued Condé Nast and Belvedere about that shit. Because they did a
Tastemaker program or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, they did a Tastemaker program.
Did he get paid or they just ceased and desist?
I think they settled it.
That's big.
They settled it. But the main thing, like he, you know, he was the type of person that was wheeling and dealing, but he had an assistant. And I never seen like a solo flying entrepreneur
right.
with an assistant.
Right.
You know, because I really came out the streets. I didn't really come from
yeah.
no organized type of background. So
uh-huh.
I'm looking at this shit. And what he would do is he'd come to a meeting and, you know, you talk his talk, you know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. You know how you go to a meeting.
Right.
He'd be like, yeah, we could do this. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then he'll go back to the office and tell the assistant, and then the assistant to type up the recap and
mm-hmm.
the next steps and all that. I'm like, shit.
I need one of them.
That shit is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have to be able to, you know what I'm saying, let that shit go.
Because
mm-hmm. by the time, see me, I would have went to the meeting and by the time I got back to an assistant, I would have made up all the shit I wanted to do in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have to remember to execute the shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I think I got it because it's all in my head.
You would not want to download it to them. You
yeah, it'd be
say,
too
hey,
late to download it to somebody else because
well,
I already got it.
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah.
But in watching him move, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was certain things where he flamed out and all that
mm-hmm.
and had to move on to other things. But the thing that I learned that I saw, you know what I'm saying, it's certain kinds of people in the game. And you see these archetypes
mm-hmm.
across the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got the idea guy that's wheeling and dealing. And then you got some of those guys that never get nothing done. And then you got some of those guys that always get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, they have people that's,
right.
They helping, usually have that assistant.
Right.
That really is managing that shit, putting it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that shit inspired me. That's inspired me to create 21st Century Hustle. Because he was to me, he had everything a drug dealer had.
Okay.
And I had never seen nobody that young.
Oh, the Benz and the
yeah, you know
apartments
he,
and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was fly. You uh-huh. know what I'm saying?
Right,
he had
right,
the,
right.
The big whip.
Yeah.
Your watches and shit.
Yeah.
All, you know,
legit.
Clothes. Legit. You know what I'm saying? And I had never seen nobody that young
right.
get it like that.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I was like, that's the 21st Century Hustle.
Uh-huh.
It's something new.
Did you profile him?
Yeah, he was one of the first people
oh, okay.
I profiled.
I was about to say. That would be fucked up.
It was like
up.
The first interview.
Yeah.
Like, he
oh,
was
right,
the inspiration.
Bet. Beautiful.
He was the inspiration to the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, like my wife might get on my oldest son because, you know what I'm saying, he might have all these things he got going on, but then some of the shit falls through the cracks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like homework and shit like that. In class, he killing shit. The teacher's always like, he killing shit in class, but
mm-hmm.
then homework is like, yeah, he, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's not in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, you know what I'm saying, for his graduation from college, I'm going to get him an assistant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he the type of person that will be able to utilize an assistant.
Right.
And he don't have no motherfucking problems putting no work on nobody else.
Hey, yo, you got,
You know what I'm saying? He ain't.
From experience?
Yes, he ain't got no problems with that. He like, you can see it now, even what he doing now. You can see how he got other people doing shit. And it's like, that's how he going to win. Because he not scared to delegate the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, you know, somebody else do that. I mean, I'm going to do the shit I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know?
Speaking of which, y'all just shot something together. You worked with your son.
Yeah.
How is his approach different from your approach?
Well, he young. And he don't have no approach. He's just doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he not thinking about the shit. He just, they grab the camera and they go shoot shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put it, we going to shoot this video.
Right.
And they shoot it. He'll cut it and put it up. You know what I'm saying? Me, I would have had to think, okay, shit, who going to DP this bitch? Who going to motherfucking produce it? I need a gaffer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'd be thinking about a whole bunch of shit.
Right.
He ain't thinking about that shit. They just go out and shoot
and
shit.
Gun.
And then that's the video. Like, for me, I'd be thinking that's too, you know what I'm saying? Ah, we got to do it better.
Right. Because
I know too much. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, in this particular case, we shot a promo for African American College Alliance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Chris Latimer, who was, you know, a podcast alumni.
Yeah.
He got a line of shirts with just the logo on it that he wanted to get out there because he was doing a pop-up at Essence.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed to make a quick promo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got a mirror and I told him, you know, go get your friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? He got a good crop of friends, you know what I'm saying? He got Khalil Middleton, who was on When They See Us.
Okay.
You know, when the guy Corey was in jail.
Right.
And then he was talking to the guy with the dreads. Yeah.
Right.
So he's in it. You know what I'm saying? His brother Kasim, who's been on a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. He was on American Idol.
Okay.
So he's in it.
He's
a
singer or something?
Yeah, he's a singer.
Okay.
Singer and rapper, but he mostly sang and shit. Mm-hmm. So he was in it, you know what I'm saying? Then he got all the girls that came from Hampton that was in the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he pulled all the people together, you know what I'm saying? Made sure they was in place. And then I shot him and cut it up. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting, though, for me working with my son because, you know what I'm saying, I have a very, 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 very low tolerance for, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers that ain't on point with the shit. You know what I'm saying? And not that he wasn't on point.
But to your standard.
Because it's your son, I need you to motherfucking listen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You used to, you know what I'm saying? When you doing some shit, you used to say some shit and everybody listen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I say some shit, he do the shit his way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not that it's fucked up, but it's just I didn't tell you to do it that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now that's all in the way, that my little emotions in the way of, you know what I'm saying?
Like, hold on now.
Like, goddamn it, shit, now you need to listen.
Right. Right.
But again, sometimes you just gotta let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In order to be a better me, in order for me to get to where I'm trying to go next in my spiritual life, I got to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's an exercise. I think I'm being tested.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good, though.
It is great.
It's good. Getting you there. What's up with you, though? What's going on otherwise?
That's it, man. Shit, like I said, man, out here.
Mm.
Just, regrouping, building. I got some shit in the fall that's going to be pretty big, so I'm trying to prepare myself and set up my situation for that. Been watching, you know, my wife is catching up on Succession.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I watched that with I watched it before, so I'm kind of watching it again.
Right.
She watched a lot of, my wife, she watched what I, you know what I'm saying, be like a lot of tragic white people shows.
Give me examples.
Know, like,
Game of Thrones, is that one of them?
No, it's like more like Shameless and
Okay, though.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
Good Times for White Folks.
Yeah, she's like watching like Big Little Lies right now. It's like everybody's in a fucking, you know what I'm saying? She watch
Handmaid's Tale.
Okay. Oh, every time she watches shit, it's just like some tragic shit going on. Like what the fuck is? It's just depressing.
Yeah, I haven't watched either of those. I've seen some of Shameless.
And she watching Euphoria.
Okay.
And
yeah, it's so, troubled.
Yes, yeah, very troubled. You know, even though, you know, the main character is black.
Right.
Ish. What?
It's black.
I didn't know. I didn't know. Light skin, curly hair. You know, can go either way.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
Black. You can go. You know what I mean? You can go a lot of different ways. You know what I mean?
Oh shit!
But she watching Euphoria and shit. Uh-huh. So I was catching. She was, you know, she was, you know, I guess she had. She was catching up, so she had like two episodes.
Right.
So I'm sitting there watching this shit. I'd be uncomfortable watching, even though I know the actors are probably grown.
Right.
I'd be uncomfortable putting myself in a teenager's body doing wild shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It feels weird. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you got, you know what I'm saying, the grown man fucking with one of the teenagers and shit. Right. It's like, what the fuck?
It's a little unsettling.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's funny because her and her friends, they get together like, oh my God, girl, we got to keep a tighter grip on our kids. These kids are just running wild out here.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that's a show. You know what I'm saying? Right. I know that shit happens, but they took all of the worst shit that could happen.
Put it in one
episode. Put it in one crew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they doing the most.
They doing a lot
of
shit.
You know what I'm saying? And I knew people that was doing a lot of shit, but it wasn't as concentrated. You weren't getting all the way high, getting all the pussy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's wild. And it's not even as wild. It's sophisticated as fuck. Did you see the one episode where they at the carnival and my man is hustling the Molly, but he got a whole pretzel stand and he's like, I don't want to fuck the shit up.
She was watching that episode. I came in like later in that episode when old boy was choking old girl out.
That was the same episode. So like early on, you seen the little drug dealer cats.
Yeah, the little young cat.
The little young cat. And then there's this other man. They put together a whole damn pretzel stand at the carnival. Like a legitimate pretzel stand.
Sophisticated drug dealer.
High school motherfuckers are selling shit. And then they got the Molly. So they're like, yo, how many pretzels you want? They say, I want two. They flip the pretzel, put a little Molly thing in the joint. And then you got your little pretzel. Look like you bought a pretzel. You walk, take your little. I'm like, wow. These kids is doing it. It's different. That's not even on the computer. That's not even on the phone.
Right.
That's just.
They out on Front Street. Yeah, one where the girl was on the carousel tripping off the mic.
Wilding.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it get a little weird and uncomfortable for me watching that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it places, you know what I'm saying? When you get invested in it, you get placed into it.
Do you watch it with your son or your daughter?
Even more weird. I don't watch it with them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I know she started watching it with my middle son, who was in high school.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? When you got, you know, teenage sex, motherfuckers masturbating, it get a little weird.
Wild.
I don't want to watch that shit with my kids. You know what I'm saying? You watch this shit on your own. With your own peer set.
Right, right.
I don't want to get into your mind, your psychology, or your sex life.
You do that by yourself.
Yeah, you do. You know what I'm saying? I give you my own little advice, but you go off on your own.
Right, right.
I don't want to sit here and explore this shit with you.
you know what I'm saying? I can dig it.
That shit get weird.
Yeah.
It was just like when I was saying, when I went to see Little.
Right.
And it was the grown lady in the little girl body.
Right,
but thinking as a grown lady, that shit felt weird. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know it's just TV, it's acting and shit. I just, you know.
Yeah.
That's just me. That's just my own little idiosyncrasy, whatever. How the fuck you say that shit?
Idiosyncrasy?
Yeah.
What shows you watching?
What am I watching? I've watched that goddamn Snowfall. That's what I
I'm back on that. I'm happy that's back.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I was waiting on.
Right.
So I caught that episode, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I've been writing.
Yeah?
Hey, I've been writing my own shit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
How's that going?
Motherfucker told me, this is the best time in the history of time to be a black storyteller.
I've been hearing that and seeing that. Who told you that? I've been hearing that and seeing that, though.
My man, Sean P, he was like, okay, man, fool, you better come on in.
Get to it.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because he, you know, he a DP. Sean P, for all those who don't know, when I started a magazine and it was kind of failing, and I figured, you know what I'm saying, branded content would be next.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I figured we'd start shooting some shit. He was just starting out as a DP.
Okay.
So I went to him. He lived in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? What you using, what you think? He the one told me about the 5D, told me what to get. Da-da-da-da. I don't think he thought I was just asking questions.
Just to... random motherfucker.
Yeah, then
is that how y'all met? Just on you seen him out shooting?
I used to see him. I met him. I actually met him in the music. He was working with
Pharoah.
Nah, he was working with damn, what's the dude now? He had a hot summer one year. Cody Chestnut.
Cody Chestnut.
He was working with Cody Chestnut
right,
and them.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying? Yeah. I was trying to sell him an ad.
Okay.
And he came in and met with me, him, Cody, and Cody manager, Don something.
Okay. Shout out to
Don. Don 2 or something like that.
Okay.
So they came in and, you know, ended up finding out he lived in my neighborhood. So I would see him around the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I left and I was working on my own, I was in the hood more often. Mm-hmm. I started seeing him more often.
And how'd you find out he was a shooter, though?
Because he had his camera, and that's what they was doing. And then, you know, they was trying to set up this thing called Bed-Stuy Film Collective or some shit like that.
Uh-huh.
That's when I was first starting. So they were gearing up to shoot Pharoah Monch's video for Clap. So it was Sean P. DPing, mm-hmm. Terrence Nance directing, mm-hmm. Lloyd Porter. He organized the whole Bed-Stuy Film Collective thing.
Okay.
He was Gregory Porter's brother before Gregory got going. And then I was just a little side cat, you know what I'm saying, watching these
This before you even had a camera.
Yeah, I'm watching the neighborhood cats, you know what I'm saying, get busy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then by the time they did that, I had a camera. That was the first thing I actually shot behind the scenes for Terrence Nance and Sean on Clap, Pharoah Monch.
Okay.
So nowadays, Terrence is directing Space Jam right now.
Right.
And then Sean P is, you know, they did Random Acts of Flyness together. Mm-hmm. They do that together. Mm-hmm. And then Sean P is directing, you know, shows on Hulu and Netflix and like big shows. He's making real shit. And so he was kind of like, shit, fool, you better come on in. You know what I mean?
Shit, especially if you got a motherfucking in.
Right. That's what he was saying. He was like, you know what I'm saying? Like the guy that, you know, did this for us and set this deal up for us, he looking for shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can't wait to find new shit. And with you being, you and our family, so shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? You better come on in.
And get the writing.
And then I was like, you know what I'm saying? Shit, I might need to learn. He was like, man, you just need to drop some shit.
Real.
And then I left that meeting and went and got my shit together.
There you go.
You know what I'm
saying? So those are good meetings. Those are meetings. You know what I mean? Some meetings are regular. Some meetings are like, all right, cool. Next steps. All right, bet. I'll email you. Those meetings when the fire lit under your ass, you like, word. Okay. When you doing a whole lot of word to yourself. Ooh. All right. Yes. You know yes.
And
I got it. I'm back.
And I think God was listening.
Yeah.
Because
he was at the meeting.
All the shit that I thought I was going to be doing fell apart.
Uh-oh.
You know what
So
saying?
You had to do some
I had to do some new shit. You might as well do the shit to go where you want to go. You know what I'm saying?
We should recognize the blessing in that.
Yeah.
Some people you have been upset.
Man, I done been doing this shit so long. Ups and downs, bumping my head, losing, winning. You got to recognize the blessing in all the shit. Because no matter how you thinking, you ain't going to make the loss come back. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
You got to go to the next shit, irregardless, as they say. You know what I'm saying?
And they say that's not a real word.
No, it's not. But I like to say it.
Okay.
Because it sound more definitive than regardless. You know what I'm saying? Irregardless of the fact.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Irregardless of the fact it's not a word.
Irregardless of the fact it's not a word. I don't really care about words.
All right. You know what I'm saying? You want some other shit.
You know, no, for real. You know what I'm saying? It's just letters, consonants and vowels and shit. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You want some mystical
shit. No, it's just like, you know what I mean? All this shit we doing is words attached to it, right?
Right.
But the words change all the time. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers over here speak different words than us, but they still get their shit across. And some people don't even speak the regular words we speak.
Mm-hmm.
They get their point across. It's about communicating the point. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times I find, you know, sometimes the fucked up language communicates a point a lot faster and better than, you know what I'm saying, the perfect language.
Interesting.
Like in the hood, when they start, you know what I'm saying, you'll have a cat that... I used to know this cat just make up words all the time. He just make up shit.
Right.
And he was good at it. That was his skill. That was his gift.
Mm-hmm.
Make up words.
Give me one of the words he made up.
Swallow.
Okay. You meaning know what I'm saying? Like a little sip?
No, not like a little sip. Like, more like a big sip.
Okay.
He's like, you know what I'm saying? I saw you over there talking to that swallow. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So big, she don't chew, she just swallow.
Oh, wow.
type of dude that make up shit.
Right, just like an E-40 ass.
Yeah, like an E-40 right. ass nigga. Yeah. Like, but that's just one that I remember, the Big Swallow. Because, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look like they don't even chew, they just swallow.
But he, when you making up new shit, he also got to give you the definition as he tell you. He say, because you going to wind up scratching your head.
That's the punchline. That's the punchline.
Yeah.
You know, you always come with the punchline. Okay. That, you know what I'm saying? Add it into the vernacular.
Right.
But, you know, you always get those people like that. That's just like, where I'm from, seeing like words just popped up every week. You know what right. I'm saying? And if you watch the internet, you'll see words just pop mm-hmm. up, new shit every day. And they say, you know, the reason why Latin fell off is because it was too strict. It couldn't. It was very hard to innovate it. And when the language can't be innovated, then it dies. You know what I'm saying? So when we're talking about English, it seemed like, you know, black people, we innovate the language. Often, you know right. what I'm saying? That's our whole exercise in, you know, bending and changing the language and the words right. and how to say it and how it fit and how to, you know what I'm saying, take out syllables here, add syllables there.
Right.
Like, irregardless, is add some syllables to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it feel a little better. More,
you know what
yeah.
Like, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Irregardless.
Irregardless to the fact.
Right, right, right.
I would
right,
slap
right.
the shit out you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's hilarious. Tag it with some ignorance. Yeah, tag you know it with a threat.
Yeah, that's how it go. You know, you got to, you know, put some color to it. Mm. So I, you know, as the older I get, you know what I'm saying? I try not to be as rigid. I just try to get the communication.
Get the point across.
Yeah, not just myself, but even receiving it. It's like, if the point was communicated, then that transaction was successful. Well, you know what I'm saying? And I get a kick out of the innovations and shit, because I'm not the best at it. That's why I wasn't a great rapper. Okay. Great rappers are able to bend the language and right. you know what I'm saying? Play with it and wow. not give a fuck.
So this is the first time I ever heard you say you wasn't a great rapper. This is interesting.
I wasn't. Yeah, if I was a great rapper, I wouldn't be here.
Nah, but there's a lot of rappers that ain't popping that still feel like they got slept on or niggas wasn't ready. You know what I mean? And most great rappers or most rappers that don't pop, mm-hmm. oftentimes they don't have the self-awareness enough to be like, you know what? Some say, right. this ain't for me. I'm going to bow out. Others... It's like the world keeps telling them, mm-hmm. nah, you know right. what I mean? But they keep putting together bars and bars right. and them shits go nowhere. So for you to be like, you know what? I knew.
Nah, I mean.
What was it that made you feel like?
Because what I was doing wasn't connected. I felt like I had great ideas.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I do realize that in this world, there's something for everyone.
Right.
And is someone that will buy anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you can find your audience. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't connecting with the audience that I really felt like should be receiving this information.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, your first level is, you know, I think I was, you know, I was too heady. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Too, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Even when I did my magazine failed for the same reason.
Mm.
Because... not understanding how to use the language in the way that make people feel warm, like, that's my nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're using the language to say words that make people feel like, mother, what that motherfucker say? You know what I'm saying? Why are you talking to me like that?
Like they feel a way or they feel like way. Above
sometimes,
their head?
Sometimes you talk, if you're talking above somebody's head, they're going to feel a way.
Yeah.
The message not is going to be communicated as
right,
well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I did have songs that communicated well, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, that felt good to mm-hmm. certain people and shit like that. But I'm the type of person, I recognize talent. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, shit, that is raw. And I didn't feel like I could be as raw as some of the talent that I saw, so I just felt like it wasn't worth it.
Gotcha.
You know, there's some people that could go do it irregardless.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying,
right.
have a nice little run and uh-huh. be okay with that.
Right.
I wasn't okay with being a low-level rapper.
Right. right.
You know what I'm saying? If I was going to do it, I wanted to be
with
in
the pop.
I wanted to be in the conversation at least.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be like, oh, that nigga mother. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But when you got like, I grew up with JT Money from Poison Clan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this song once called I Love Women, right?
Mm-hmm.
JT Money at the same time had a song called I Hate Hoes. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And his shit was cracking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This shit was in the club. I hate hoes. Hoes hate me.
Right. What was I Love Women sound like? Let me hear what I Love. Let me hear a little stanza.
Nah, man.
This shit sound way more uplifting.
Yeah, it's way more uplifting. You know what I'm saying? Was
not the culture.
No, it wasn't the culture. It didn't resonate in the culture. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that was really like the damn, like, I'm not saying the shit that's connecting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I might be saying something I feel like could work, but.
Well, let me ask you this.
It wasn't the internet then, and you had to pay for everything you got then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Let me ask you this, because that's an interesting point, right? Because you say you love language, right? And mm-hmm. you like certain language when it's, you like language when it's fluid.
Right.
You could do all types of different
things. I like people that could work with language.
People that could work with language, they could make it work for them, right? So, but then you said when you were doing the rap thing and even the magazine, you felt mm-hmm. like maybe you were speaking above people's heads. Let me finish, on a certain level.
Uh-huh.
But then like when you seen JT Money hit him with the I Hate Hoes,
mm-hmm.
did you ever have that moment where you like, I get why that resonates, but that's not me. Like, cause you know, cause some people could be on some I hate hoe shit, cause that's just endemic to how they live. That's how they speak on and off the mic.
Right.
But like, if you love women off the mic, and then you hate hoes on the mic, do you feel like you performing some shit that's false?
But I never did that. That's what I'm saying. That's why it never worked.
That's what I'm saying. Do you feel like, as much as that connected and resonated, it probably connected and resonated because he meant that shit. He felt that shit. Just like you felt I love women.
But JT also had a way with words.
Okay.
He had a way that he could speak the people's language in a way that was, he was very prolific in how he spoke.
Right.
And how he put the words together. You know what I'm saying? And you had cats running around Miami at that time quoting him like that shit was the Bible, dog.
Right.
Because he could say it in a way that hit them right in their heart. You know what I'm saying? He used the language of the streets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a certain kind of way you could talk that, you know what I'm saying, that the streets feel you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and in Miami, it's not a very... It's clear. You know what I'm saying?
You either
saying that shit or you not.
Yeah.
It's like in New York, like say with Jay-Z. Jay-Z was very he was clear with his words. He had big vocabulary.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He said shit in a way that sounded educated, but it then still resonated with the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that shit would have worked in Miami.
Mm.
I know it wouldn't have worked in Miami. Because you had to speak in the way that Miami niggas spoke.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to get right to it.
You got to get right to it, straight up and down. Right. You know what I'm saying? You got to use all the words that,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Nah, that's interesting. What do you think about Big? You think he would have translated? Because Big know how to do.
Big was the best at it.
Yeah.
Big was.
He's ill.
He's master of.
The hybrid.
Bending words in ways that translate across the board. He's able to take high-level topics and break them bitches down and then bring them back up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, you listen to somebody like Big, you just be like, man, fuck this shit, man. I can't do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but if you listen to Pop wasn't doing what Big was doing. He was just doing his thing.
Right.
But see me,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, trying to be perfect and shit, be like, man, I can't do that shit like Big, then this shit ain't even worth it.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Because Big changed everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you could master, like, I felt like I could master, like, you know what I'm saying, where shit was, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, coming out of the Big Daddy Kane, Rakim
right,
era.
Right, right, right. He was taking it to a whole you know other place.
Big took that shit. It's like, shit, you're not even recognizing his rhyme schemes. Like, what the fuck did he do just there? You got to go back and study that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He rhymed this way, on this beat, that beat, and then ended the bar with this rhyme.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, shit.
Yeah. He's a beast.
This motherfucker playing jazz with words.
He's a beast.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like playing saxophone jazz with words. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And shit, I had to be like, man, I can't do that.
I tap out. I'm good.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm good. Yeah.
Like that's the epitome. That's the top of the food chain.
Yeah. Yeah, he was bad.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I couldn't innovate at that. You know what I mean? Because there's some people born with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Some people born with the ability, like how they say Jay don't write and shit. He just got it in him to split that sick, slick shit. You know what I'm saying? And cadences and patterns and put words to those cadences and patterns that really match and make sense and touch people.
Right.
Because there's certain people that could do it, but then they don't necessarily touch the people as much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Quali and a, you know what I'm saying? Like even Mos, like Mos is dope with putting them shits together.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But it don't touch the masses the same way.
Mm.
It touch a big group of people. And you know what I'm saying? If I had taken, say, a most as an example, then it might be more, you know what I'm saying, it might be more accessible to me. Like, okay, I can, you know what I'm saying, I can get in kind of there. But even most had a skill that was doper than most, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
as far as freestyling and just.
His way with words is ill, too.
Yeah, his way with words is real crazy, you know what I'm saying? And then it was the other part of it was performance-wise.
Right.
I'm a cool nigga. You know what I mean? I'm cool. Like, you know
I can
man?
Dig it. No, I
like,
feel you.
And like we talked about this when we talked about dance.
Right.
It's like rap really needs that motherfucker that can get out there and just hit it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, go out there and rap.
Right
and,
now.
And then you just go out there and break that whole shit down like a Pop, T.I., you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
J.T.,
you
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're big, you know what I mean? I even think Jay-Z was probably more reluctant on the performance side.
Yeah,
but he had like Dame and he had a whole bunch of shit to go around him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when you got that shit, you just walk out there and just hit that shit.
We don't wait for them to warm up to you. You just bring the show to them.
You know how the motherfucker started rapping on the first beat of the song?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Trust me.
Like, you need, that's the type of motherfucker rap need, at least from my perspective.
Right.
I didn't feel like I added anything to the game that would impress myself.
Right, right, right. And I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
I can dig it.
Then the shit just didn't, you know what I'm saying? I remember I performed in Valdosta, Georgia. And my nigga Killer Groove, he was a DJ out there. He was dope. He probably was the dopest party DJ I ever seen in my life.
Killer Groove. Shout out to Killer Groove.
He's the type of DJ. When I went to this motherfucker shit.
It was the college?
No, he wasn't in college. He was just in the
city. No, I mean, were you performing?
I was in college. No, it was a city club, like a regular club.
Okay.
I ain't never went to a party where the dance floor was popping from the time they opened the door till they closed the bitches.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? That's how he was nice. In Valdosta, Georgia, a small town. He knew how to rock that bitch.
Right.
And then he brought me up, you know what I'm saying? And because the song, one of the songs I had was like a Miami-style song, but it hit in Valdosta. Like, out of, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That shit was popping.
Yeah.
So he's like, yo, this is bringing my boy from Dade County, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
And I walked out there.
You ain't looked the part.
I heard someone in the front row like, that nigga ain't from no Miami.
Oh, that ain't the Miami we know.
That nigga don't look like Miami.
That shit made you tight. Now you defend, motherfucker.
I wasn't even tight because I knew exactly what he was talking about. I kind of laughed to myself, really.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? When I put that bitch on, they rocked to it. But it was just like, that shit made me laugh.
Yeah. He's like, damn.
It's like, shit, I know, dog.
It's a disconnect. I can dig it.
I know. You know what I'm saying? No.
But you rocked it, though. You got into it?
I had a nice little, if I could just say, you know what? I do these small towns and rock this. And this is something like a message for people who are actually out there doing this shit.
Uh-huh.
If you just stick to what you do,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and you're able to just run through that shit,
right.
you're going to find your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not look like how you want it.
Right.
It might not feel like how you want it. But you will find the audience, and they will fuck with you, and you keep giving them shit, you know what I'm saying, it'll grow.
Because
I saw that later with Master P.
Mm.
Master P was popping in just like these little ass small towns. Like, you know what I'm saying, we be in Kentucky, and they playing the early Master P. Like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
Y'all, this what y'all listen to? That's P the Man shit.
Yeah,
that's Ice Cream Man shit. Like, man, that shit, man, you tripping.
Yeah.
And then you saw how they love that. They love him like he was the biggest motherfucker in the game.
Because he saw them.
Like, y'all don't know Biggie?
Yeah.
Fuck Biggie.
Yeah.
It's P.
P was here.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they ain't never seen him. He ain't never performed. He took over all of those little small-ass towns and was able to go gold and platinum in those towns before he even hit the big cities like that. So by the time he hit the big cities, he was already paid. Mm-hmm. So if, you know what I'm saying, if I knew better, you could run those small, like Valdosta, like, you know what I'm saying, little towns in Florida, Panama City. My man DJ Dap used to bring me out to Panama City. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be kind of like a joke to me because I ain't know the audience. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm from Miami. I know Miami audiences. Right. I know Atlanta.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what's in your head. You go out there, you rocking these little small clubs, but they feeling you. They fucking with you. They singing your words and shit.
Yeah.
And you like, man, that ain't enough.
Right.
And then you discounting the shit that's right there in front of you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the shit that make you be like, ah, this ain't working.
Yeah, that shit happens, especially if you're a performer with deals that deals with audiences and shit like that. You got to real, because you were inspired typically by those big ass, you was inspired, right. You were inspired by the finished product.
Right.
Niggas rocking them big ass crowds, them stadiums. Then you gotta get it where you fit it. You start off with six motherfuckers in there. They might be enthused, right? I used to see that a lot with comedy. It'd be six motherfuckers in the crowd. I would see comedians, and I'd been one of them to do it early on too. That would be upset. Damn, it's only six people in there. And then you gotta love these six motherfuckers because they came out. Don't make them the problem. Shit, nigga, you got some work to do.
They showing love.
Hey, these are the six. These are your first
six. They showing love.
Half a dozen. Get to it. And then that six turn to 12 and then keep going. Next thing you know, oh, wow, this shit is crazy.
Yeah,
but
man.
Shit, that takes patience. And sometimes you might not have that when you're young.
But that's that's the work. If you're gonna grow, that is the work. I know that now.
Right.
It took a few times to learn that lesson.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's the work. Like I said, with the magazine, again, I was saying important shit. I was saying the shit exactly how I wanted to say it. And I felt good about the shit that I was saying. But it didn't feel good to read the shit I was saying. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, like.
To you or to others?
To the readers, to regular readers.
Right,
you know what I'm
saying? Right.
So, I started shit off, like, my opening little letter, change or die.
Right.
And the quote that I had up next to my head, next to my face, is by Alvin Toffler. And it was like, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read or write, it will be those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn.
Mm.
So
that's heady as fuck.
That's saying a lot. That means all that education you
right,
got.
Right. That shit ain't even enough for you.
You might be the illiterate now.
Yeah, yeah.
This motherfucker who can't read might be doing better than you because he's able to adapt and learn. And so that's how I started the shit. So that's the tone. That's how I set the tone. And Hiram Hicks, who was Puffy's manager at the time, my man Aaron Arnold gave him a copy of the shit because he was working with them. And then he asked him what he thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we thought that shit was the shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Aaron Arnold was my right-hand man at the time.
Right. Shout out to Aaron Arnold. You know what I'm hilarious. So, yeah.
So we thought this shit was the shit. You know what I'm saying? I got motherfucking Aaron Magruder.
Right.
Drew the cover for me with the Boondock shit. I'm like, shit, we about to kill this shit. And this motherfucker says, man, I like it, but it ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. He was like, why? It's like, it's all steak and no sizzle. And that shit pissed me off. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? All steak and no sizzle. Nigga, this supposed to be steak. Nigga, we out here, you know what I'm saying?
Who pay for sizzle?
You know what I'm saying? We out here putting out the word. Nigga, this the shit.
It's like, protein.
Don't y'all niggas know it's a recession coming? No.
Right.
Nobody don't know that shit. Everybody feeling good about their life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody at their job feeling good. We talking about all this shit about, you know what I'm saying? They gonna kill Social Security. Nigga, you gonna be fucked up if you don't get out here and start, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Putting yourself, considering yourself a brand and operating as a business.
Right.
Nigga's like, what the fuck is you talking about?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was saying the shit too fucking.
Too early.
Too hard, I guess, because, you know, Fast Company was saying the same shit. But I was just saying it with, like, you know what I'm saying? Harder words, I suppose. I don't know.
Right.
It just felt different coming from me. And they let me know that shit. This shit, we ain't fucking with this. And it was people that fuck with it, but then it was like, I didn't expect to get emails saying, this shit, I don't fuck with this because, you know.
Is that the email tone? I don't fuck with this.
Yeah, they motherfucker like, everybody ain't going to be no entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? Some people just want a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I didn't say, you know what I'm saying?
I'm
catching backlash.
But you know, that's part of building the audience.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like in comedy, it's like walking the crowd. There's like, when you see certain comedians,
right?
Like there's certain comedians like Patrice O'Neal would walk the fuck out of a crowd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, Paul, like mad people will say some crazy shit,
But then those people that remain are those diehard motherfuckers. Right. You know what I mean?
The difference is
you need to make some paper.
Yeah, because print costs money. Paper costs money. And it's shipping costs money. And I ain't had that kind of money to just be walking a motherfucker.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I needed everybody to be there.
I needed them to get it.
Right.
I'm saying? Y'all ain't supposed to have got this shit.
Yeah.
And they ain't get it. I mean, not enough. You know what I'm saying? So, but it brought me to where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And that's the blessing.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So,
there you go.
That's all. But that's the whole thing. It's like, I respect somebody that could use words in a way, bend them up, fuck them up, and hit people in the heart with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that's not a skill that's endemic to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You had to work at it and tool with it and play with it and bump your head.
Right.
I wish I could just do the talk that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, so that's that.
There you go. Well, at least you know. At least you see it. It's good.
I'm a survivor.
There it is. I'm a survivor. There you go. Oh, man. What else? Yeah, I had a situation. Where do you stand? Do you, last time you been to like a clinic or something? Or like to the doctor?
I've been to the doctor not too long ago. I got an operation not too long ago. Not a serious operation.
Right.
And then I went to, within the past year, I've been more times than in other years.
I had this situation. I went to a dermatologist type situation, mm-hmm. right? And then I'm going for just a checkup or whatever, just a mm-hmm. consultation or whatever. And, you know, we going through shit. I've been there once before, but then they hitting me. You know, every time you come, they make it feel like you ain't been there before. They, oh, we got some new paperwork. You need to sign this, mm-hmm. whatever, whatever. So I'm cool. I'll sign some of the paperwork. Then they got this check authorization form
mm-hmm.
where you got to put your whole credit card information and shit like that, and they put that shit on file.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fuck with that. I don't fuck with that. Okay. I had to make it known. And I almost got... They wasn't almost going to see me over that shit. Are you comfortable with that? First off, are you comfortable with that?
No.
Okay, because I feel like that shouldn't be mandatory.
Right.
For one.
I might not even have no motherfucking car.
That's what I'm saying. With you. Cat was like, well, it was just an article that just came out like a week ago that says 98 to 99% of New Yorkers.
I'm the 2 motherfucking percent.
First of all, that's a bullshit article. You put that out your ass. That wasn't in no fucking paper. Exactly. There's no way 98 to 99% of motherfuckers got a credit card. But I've been seeing that. I just don't like, I mean, they want your security code, all of that shit.
Mm-mm.
I don't know these motherfuckers. You got my home, you got all my information, you got my insurance
information. You got my social security code.
You got all, but you could get your money.
Yeah, if you want it.
So we-
You ain't finna just take it.
So they were like, we had a bit of a standstill in the office.
I bet you did.
I was like, look, I can't give you that. I feel, you know, I'm sorry, I'm uncomfortable. Shit. I had to pull I'm uncomfortable card. I was like, I'm uncomfortable, I don't know. They were like, well, that's mandatory.
Well,
I said, well, I don't, you know, they were like, well, I mean, it's mandatory. So I said, all right, well, I walked out and I got to the elevator and I was like, fuck. First of all, getting appointments with a doctor is like booking an artist. You know what I'm saying? Like I had to book this shit months in advance. So now I woke up early to get to the shit. I'm at the elevator. I'm like, this is some bullshit. So then I go back and I was like, nah, I'm not feeling the fact that I got to give you this to be seen by the doctor. I feel like that's discrimination. You know what I mean? I was going for everything. Uncomfortable discrimination. They were like, well, you know, they basically was like, well, you can feel how you feel. You know what I mean? But that's the thing. So I said, this was the manager. This is the office manager. I said, where's the doctor? I want to talk to the doctor. They were like, the doctor got nothing to do with this. I said, how the doctor got nothing to do with this? This is the doctor's office. So it was a bit of a stalemate. And I, you know, already them little in-between sometimes, I don't like that little run interference energy they're hitting me with.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I played it like I was broken and defeated. I said, all right, man, give me the form. So I take the form and I go sit over there. I'm looking at the shit. I got the form in my hand. I'm on the Google, like, is it illegal? You know, I'm trying to Google some legality about the situation. And as I'm doing that, I see the doctor going from one room to the next, right? It ain't but so far.
Right.
I say, hey, doc, listen. I don't want to fill out this check authorization form because I'm uncomfortable about that. Will you still see me? And he was like, oh yeah, that's no problem. And then I gave them motherfuckers back that shit. I got seen. I'll probably never go back again because I probably burnt the whole shit down.
Nah, you good.
But
That's some bullshit, my nigga. Yeah, I don't, it's not somebody into that.
It's always somebody, they just doing their job and they trying to push it through. I had some shit like
that.
I had some shit like that at the bank the other day.
What happened?
The other week. I had this check and went to deposit the shit. And I'm depositing the shit at the ATM.
Yeah.
As soon as I put the shit in, the motherfucking shit like, well, no. We can't take the check and we can't give it back. You gotta call this number.
What you mean? What happened?
It didn't I just put the shit in and this motherfucking shit came up on the screen. You gotta call this number.
Wow.
We can't get the motherfucking check back. We can't accept deposit.
This is the ATM
saying this shit.
That's crazy.
And this has happened before.
Yeah.
So, but this time the bank was open. So I go to the teller, like, yo, what the fuck you man?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you gotta call that number. Call the number. They like, well, you know, we gotta do an investigation. It's gonna take 10 days for this and could be 90 days. I'm like, nah, mother, I got people to pay right now. Right. Like, what the fuck is hell nah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm getting irate now.
Of course.
So I go to back to the teller.
Right.
And she was like, well, there ain't nothing we could do. Da da da. We don't have access to the ATM. Da da da. And I was like, well, can I see the manager?
Right.
Like, well, he gonna tell you the same thing. Da da da. And there was another motherfucker signifier walking behind her, like walking back to, like, you know how they go on break and they walking by, eardropping on the situation.
Uh-huh.
Well, he gonna tell him the same thing. And then she kept walking. I was like, well,
I gotta hear that shit.
I mean, he's gonna have to tell me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, cause he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, have him, let him see him. Let him see him. Cause she wasn't trying to let me see him.
Right.
The other one's like, let him see him. He gonna tell him the same thing.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, shit. So the dude came out. No, I went and sat in his office. He came in. He was like, what's the problem? I was like, yeah, my check got stuck in the ATM right there. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying, get it out so we can make the deposit. He was like, they didn't tell you can get out. Like, they actually told me I couldn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was like, ah. Motherfucker went back there, came back with the check, handed it back to me. I went to the same teller.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Motherfucker.
Just to get that off.
Oh, he was going to tell me the same thing, right, that you said, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What they hit you with, though.
They just hit me with the head down, did their job. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I hit them with the get that. The fuck up out of there. But I had a, it's crazy because the security guard.
Uh-huh. He was watching the whole shit.
It was a lady, a black lady with braids. She was watching the whole shit. And
she knew they was bullshitting.
And I didn't know this at the time.
Uh-huh.
But she was like, what, did you see something? I'm like, yeah, I saw him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He took it. No, she was gone by the time he took care of it. Mm-hmm. She was like, did you see something? I'm like, I'm waiting to see him now. And then, because she was standing back, like, you know, I didn't know if she was standing there, like, is this going to be a problem?
Put you down.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm watching her. Right. She watching me.
Right.
But I didn't know she was an ally.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A silent ally.
Right.
Until I came back to that same branch a week later.
Oh, wow.
And then she was in there. She's like, hey, did you get your check back? I was like, yeah. Oh. I was like, I didn't know that. I wanted to tell you so bad that they was bullshitting. We had just gave somebody their check back earlier today.
Look at that shit.
I'm like, ain't this a motherfucking bitch?
That's that bullshit.
So.
Yeah, man.
If you don't feel right, you know what I'm saying? You push that shit to the level, man. Shit, you ain't got nothing but time.
Yeah, that's it. That's the worst. When a motherfucker ain't got nothing but time, that's the best. Like, I could be on this phone for a while. We need to speak to your manager.
I need to talk to someone. That's like, you know, with the dermatologist. I had to go to the dermatologist, and they, you know, with the cosign. And then she hit me, like, my cosign, I had went there like 3 times, and my cosign was $10.
Copay.
My copay.
Okay.
My copay, not my cosign. Mm-hmm. My copay was $10.
Right.
I go in there this time, you're like, well, that's going to be
$30.
Right. $30?
Right.
Shit.
What y'all do this time?
What's the difference? Like,
right.
My copay is usually $10.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's $30.
I hate that type of shit.
I was like,
give me the reason.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Every, I done been here last 3 times. Right. It was $10.
Right.
Well, I need your insurance card. Da da da. Shit. Gave him a shit. Oh, you got the. What was you just charging me just random?
Tried you. That's all it was. They be trying.
Came up with some random shit.
I don't like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Bro. Niggas be trying to punk you a little bit.
You gotta be on top of your shit, man. Cause they'll get you.
Yeah.
They'll get you out here in this world.
Man.
That's a life lesson, dog.
There you go.
Motherfuckers will get you. That's what them old ladies be saying. Don't accept no wooden nickels.
Oh. There you go.
That's some old head shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's FaceApp for real.
That's real FaceApp information.
That's real FaceApp information. That's the type of shit you have for real when you look like that.
When you got lines and gray hair and your shit. Don't take a wooden nickel.
Don't take no wooden nickels.
That's disrespect. Motherfucker got the nerve to hit you with a wooden nickel. That's a fight on sight. Nigga, that's a fight. I don't care it's a nickel, but you tried to be funny, man. Fuck you gave me this wooden ass nickel for. This shit is brown and shit. Nigga, what's wrong with us? Anyway, man. Before we get out of here, we might just have to get out of here. I found myself standing outside to get in the store this weekend.
What store?
I can't tell you the store because it was enough for motherfuckers to see me standing outside. I can't give them no promo because I was so conflicted in the moment.
What type of item was you buying?
And, well, I wasn't buying shit. It was the curiosity that got me. And it was funny when I first pulled up, there was no line.
At the Louis pop-up?
No, I didn't do that. Nah, it was some shit that went, and even still, I don't like standing outside at all. That shit looked crazy. You look thirsty just in the context. You know what I'm saying? I try to avoid that type of shit. But
you was curious.
I was curious. I'm like, what the fuck is going on in here? You know, and when I pulled up, there was no line. I saw their little rope and stanchion. I'm like, damn, what they getting prepared for? Mm. Literally 10 minutes later, it was a decent line outside. I was coming from another store. So I said, let me stand on this line
for whatever.
And it's the worst shit when you're standing on line because you're trying not to, you know what I mean? You don't want nobody to see you on the line. What you online for? What's it? Because when I see people on the line, I'm curious. The fuck they online for? What's this? And, and I judge a little bit, but it wasn't worth the line. Yeah. That's all I say. All that shit to say. Don't take no wooden nickels and don't stand on line to get into a store where you gotta pay money.
I got a homeboy. You know what I'm saying? He used to be hustling and shit, and he stopped. He, got a regular life, doing well for himself, but in a regular life. And we was talking one night, and he was like, man, you know what? I don't ever want to be a drug dealer again. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Take those kind of risks and all that shit. I got family and shit. I got kids I want to be around for and shit.
Right.
But the worst thing I hate about regular life is lines.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because when you in the streets, shit just come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fucker, always willing to go get some shit, always bringing shit. Right. Hey, you want to buy this? You want to buy this?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If it's the hot new ever shit, they going to go get the shit for you. Right. This shit going to just appear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In regular life, you got to go to some shit.
You got to wait on that
and line. Stand in the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait your turn.
And when you popping, when you outside popping and shit, mother, even if you walk into a place and there's a line,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna always be somebody that know you. Hey, what's up, boy? You said, why you in here?
Yeah, what's going on, John?
Oh, I got you, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got you, dog. Everybody looking for the tip.
Right.
Lines. I try to avoid them at all costs.
Right. It's a damn shame. I said uppity as shit. Like I don't fuck with lines. I don't. I just don't like it. I don't like being on the line outside the store to get in that bitch. That shit just feels. I feel like I'm being played. You know what I'm saying? Because typically you are.
The hypebeast scenario in that world, you're
being played.
You're getting played.
Yeah.
Period. That's the whole point of the situation.
It's strictly for optics.
You getting played. You know what I'm saying? Remember that time I was with you and we went in the spot not even knowing that it was supposed to be a line.
Okay.
And we got in there and they were like, well, you can't be in here because it's a line. What was the spot? The line was downstairs, but the spot is upstairs.
When was this? Where was this?
It was like this little Supreme little shit. I went with
you. Dover Street.
Yeah.
And they was like, they wanted us to go downstairs and get on the line. When we already in the spot.
We in the store. I don't want that shit what they buying.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the regular shit. Well, you can't be in here because there's a line to buy the whatever was dropping that day.
Yeah, I wasn't enforcing that line when I walked, though.
Yeah, because.
Respect me. I beat your line. I breached it. Give me mons. Anyway. What you doing this week, man? You going to be anywhere?
I might be in the A this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's going on out there?
I'm working on this music video, but I'm not sure. It's not always so solid yet, okay. But I might be there. All
right.
But yeah, we plan on shooting this music video with a French artist that do Afro Nigerian, French Nigerian artist.
Oh, that's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's
up. On the Afrobeat wave. Shout out to my man F.A., who's like one of the forerunners in bringing that whole Afrobeat wave to America.
Who's the artist?
Man, no, don't give me the line. I think it's Yo Train, I think his name is.
Okay. Shout out to that, man.
But he not out yet. He like, you know what I'm saying?
He on the come
yeah,
up.
He on the bubble.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So y'all heard about it early.
Yeah.
Y'all get in line for that new Yo Train when it come out.
I don't even know if that's the name.
You know, just stand in line anyway. We'll tell you what you're standing in line for when we feel like it.
You know what I'm saying? So we doing that music video, so just waiting on the specifics.
All right.
And so I might be in the A. If not, shit, I'll be, you know, back in New York next week for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
There it is. Well, I'll be back here for this too next week. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
So we out.
To be in the conversation.